summer we moved in and I felt really great that summer, a lot of energy and full of life. And then the fall started and I don't remember feeling well from that point on. That took us on a nearly 20-year journey of figure out what was going on. So then after the birth of our second child, I never got my health back. It was fatigue and pain and all kinds of crazy issues that came, and come to an understanding that maybe it was the indoor air quality that was making the difference in my health.
You are listening to the Manage Mold Podcast. This podcast was made for families on a health journey that need the real, no holds barred answers on how to create and ensure a healthy home. This show should be your launching pad to give you the information, guidance, and inspiration and clarity you need on your journey back to a healthy home. My name is Dean Malstead. You can find and follow me on Facebook and LinkedIn. Welcome to Manage Mold.
We are here with the Manage Mold Podcast. This is episode 9. And today we interview with Julie. And Julie has a phenomenal story. Things that have happened in her life and that brought her together with our company in the recent past. And some things that she went through in her own home and with health. And she wants to share and give some encouragement to people who are at various parts of this journey. And again, to remind everyone, there are moments of hopelessness and there are moments of despair that can happen in any of these situations. If you're not doing well health-wise, and if you've got issues in your home or you think you've got issues in your home and you can't identify those, there are moments where it just seems like we don't have answers. And it seems like every one of us who have gone through this experienced that piece. And I know in Julie's case, there have been many disappointments along the way, but there's also been many celebrations. And she's actually arrived at a certain point with her home and some conclusions about what have been and what she's gone through. And she is ready to share those things today and give everyone who's listening a view kind of to the inside of what it's like to go through this. And so Julie was a client of ours where we went and did an inspection, and then we did some guidance as far as helping understand where things were at with her home, and then gave some ideas and some connections of some of the solutions that could come her way. And so here we are, and we've got Julie with us, and I'd like her to introduce herself and kind of start sharing her story.
So I got to know Dean a few years ago when we were needing to make some final inspections on our home. We had been through 3 mold remediations by that point and still had that gut feeling that we had not uncovered everything. And we're looking for identifying those last pieces. And I just was stuck because we had been through 2 inspectors and we had been through 2 different remediation companies and wasn't quite sure how to go about trying to identify what was still missing. And one of the doctors I was working with had suggested contacting Dean. And I had learned over the years that it was wise just to follow those leads and those suggestions that I had been given. So I called Dean, not really knowing what was different or what I was going to find. And Dean shared his story with his family and the journey that they had been on. And I had that assurance that he was going to be able to help us. So he came with that Instascope machine of his, and we were able to quickly identify the last pieces of the puzzle that we needed to get fixed in our home so that we could move on from that part of the journey and move on to that last piece of the recovery. So that's how I got connected with Dean.
So Julie, why don't you tell us a little bit of the backdrop, if you can, how you got to a point where, I guess, where you knew you had some health impacts that you were experiencing, and then how you made the connection to your home.
So growing up, I had some health things, nothing too significant, you know, a lot of colds here and there and things like that growing up. And then as a young adult, a few more things, but nothing too significant. And I had our first child and she was 1.5 years. We moved into our new home. And that summer we moved in and I felt really great that summer, a lot of energy and full of life. And then the fall started and I don't remember feeling well from that point on. And that took us on a nearly 20-year journey of trying to figure out what was going on. So then after the birth of our second child, I never got my health back. It was fatigue and pain and all kinds of crazy issues that came. And So it was a lot of health journey after that of trying to figure out what was going on, why I couldn't get better, lots of different doctors and foods and supplements, and come to an understanding that maybe it was the indoor air quality that was making the difference in my health. And maybe that was the reason for why I couldn't get better and why things that doctors would recommend and suggest for me wouldn't make a difference. So brought in an inspector into our home, and what I had suspected at that time was that some surface mold issues in our master bathroom might be the reason that we had some mold issues, and didn't know enough at that point to really understand the questions that I needed to ask or the reasons that this could be a good suspicion to be pursuing. But he came into our home and asked the questions that needed to get asked. It was very clear that there was a lot of water damage in our home, and most of it was in our basement, and it was all hidden from water loss from water heater to sump pump water losses. It was a finished basement with drywall and paneling on top of that drywall that never gotten removed. So little by little, identified those pieces in the basement, and there were other pieces in the basement too, but that became an understanding of, and some of the pieces were not, some of the water damage had happened before we had moved in. So connecting those dots back to that first summer of when we moved in, things were okay, but then never really getting myself back on my feet again and suspecting and that our home was probably a big piece of that puzzle for us.
So when that process took place with that first inspector, it probably surprised you some of what he revealed to you, the way it sounds.
Yes, because I was thinking maybe there were some issues in our master bathroom. I had no idea that I needed to think about some pumps that had failed and water heater that had broken. So those things were not even on my radar as a reason for water damage in our home. And I, at this point, don't even know if our home smelled moldy and musty or not, because if it did, it was so normal that I didn't even notice it. So I don't have that as a piece to help me identify or think about that as, yeah, for sure, I should have picked up on that because it was just normal.
So at the point where he came in, there was probably some amount of discussion at the basement level. Were there visual signs that you could see at that point that there was a problem?
Nope, none.
Okay. And that's the interesting part to note for everyone is it's always easy to find the things that you can see, obviously, but the things that you don't see, those are the ones that really can fool us. And so that's, it sounds like you're the typically average home at that point, typically average homeowner. And here comes somebody into your home who says, hey, there was these events that took place in the past. Have you thought about what the lingering effect is? And then what happened after that?
I went through one remediation in the basement, and you know, it was more of a somewhere between the bare minimum and going all the way. And because we didn't go all the way, we didn't identify all the sources of the water damage. I had said, oh, the sump pump failure didn't happen in that part of the basement. The water didn't get over there. And, you know, that just wasn't true because, I don't know, a year or two later it was, kept on finding things and found, no, there really was more issues down there. And there was just more that needed to get done and more that needed to get removed. All of the paneling needed to be removed. All of the drywall needed to be removed. So it was a process of elimination too, instead of getting it all at the first time. And what I kind of learned too at the beginning was that some of the mold inspectors are reluctant to have you go too far and do too much because people don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear how much you have to do or to get rid of or how extensive the damage might be. And I don't know if we were in that place that we were ready to hear all of that either. And at that point, I was not connecting that water damage in our home was a big source of health issues for me. I hadn't quite made that connection yet, had not found a doctor to help me figure that out.
So when did that connection take place?
That connection happened, so that was the first mold inspection started taking place in the summertime, and my teacher and I had been transferred to a different school, and the remediation was happening right about the time that the school year was starting up again, and really wasn't quite sure what water damage buildings was doing to my health. And the school that I moved into had significant air quality issues that really set me back. And at that point, then it became very clear to me that the air quality in a building was a big source of my health issues.
And so you must have done some studying along the way.
Yes, a lot of reading, a lot of listening to podcasts and interviews, and just starting to make those connections. And I had started listening and learning about mold to have an inkling of it. And so then as I was figuring, having those experiences as I was in a different work environment and learning about the extent of the water damage in our home, it became clear. And then I was able to find a doctor who was trained in mold illness, and I was able to get better care.
Okay. So you had mentioned that you had a first remediation. So then did you then at a certain point after reading, discussing maybe with some others or doing the, when you're on your knowledge quest, did you then schedule a second remediation or how did you come to that?
Yeah. So then that one came through getting connected with a doctor who is familiar with mold illness. And I said to him, I don't think we have everything in our home, but not really sure what to do. Because again, you've been through one inspector who said, yeah, this is it. And this remediation company said, we've done this and you're good. But still suspecting that I didn't have everything in our home. So then he recommended a different inspector and a different remediation company. And then that's where more of the water damage was identified and more remediation took place.
So now you're with your second group of professionals, a different inspector, a different remediation company. What happened with both of those?
That inspection was being done remotely, and then the remediation company came and was more extensive. And some, I think, of my decisions started becoming fear-based decisions because I had gotten so sick, and from the work environment, this big exposure there, in knowledge, I think, the fear kicked in. So I was worried about every little ounce and speck of anything that might be left behind. So we dove in deeper and started removing more. But it also became clear that our bathroom on our first floor, we have a ranch, and that bathroom was definitely a problem. So in the second round, we had to gut that bathroom in order to get the mold out of the bathroom there, and that improved the air quality upstairs, and found a few more issues in the basement that still needed to get addressed. So that's where the second one went.
So along the way, did you have any pushback from anybody, family members, coworkers, friends? Because at a certain point, when you get to a certain knowledge level with indoor air quality and health issues, it's quite common to have that. Did you have any pushback from people?
My way of coping with it tended to be more to isolate and keep to myself. I found over the years, as I learned about things, I would get really excited about a new topic that I would learn about. And I thought, oh, everybody needs to know this. And they need to know this about this food or about whatever it was that I was learning about. Very excited. And quickly learned years ago that, you know, not everybody has the same level of enthusiasm and excitement. So by this point of mold issues, I was already aware that not everybody was going to receive my enthusiasm or my knowledge in the same way. So I learned to be careful on how I shared and who I shared with, and learned to just kind of plant some seeds and toss them out there and see how people respond. And if they don't respond in a way that seemed to be that would initiate a conversation or a discussion, then I would let things drop because to me it just didn't seem to be worth it. Or having conversations with somebody would tell you, well, just throw some bleach on it and you're good. And to me, that's a closed door. I don't need to have any more discussions with this person. It's not my place in this part of my journey to try to change them or to educate them. I just needed to focus on getting myself well and finding the people who would be receptive to listening enough to be able to help me with the way that I needed to have things done. So I let those people go pretty quickly. I didn't try to drag them along because it wasn't going to help me. I didn't have the energy for that. Yeah, overall, in my work building, the administrator that I had was great. He was able to find a different location for me to be in for the remainder of that year so that I had a chance of keeping my head above water. That has really brought amazing people along the way to support me in whatever capacity I needed, whether it was finding the right inspector or finding the right people to do the remediation work. Just kind people have really been brought along my path more so than the pushback. And I think the pushback I avoided because I was careful in how I pursued conversations and topics with people, which, like I said, I learned years ago to be careful in how I pursued conversations.
That's an amazing journey. So tell me, who would be two of your key cheerleaders in your story that you can think of?
My sister, and she's my cheerleader, and we are more online texting through WhatsApp because she's often out of the country. So She'll be my unbiased person that will listen to me and tell me to keep on going. And I have a dear, dear friend who has listened all the way along, has not gone through it herself, but she always listens with kindness and understanding and helps me to reframe my thinking and to take a situation and look at it through a different lens. She's always been a source of encouragement and hope and giving me scripture to use as my rock and my foundation to stand on. And my mom too, for sure, would definitely have listened to more tales of woe than I would like to admit, but she's been a good listener all of these years.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So along the way, you advocated for yourself, obviously. So you've got those things in place that helped guide you and keep you on basically a solid path moving forward. It gets you to the second remediation. What was the result of that?
The second one, things are definitely better. I mean, I was in a different work environment, so things were definitely improving. But there still was that gut feeling that things weren't quite right. And again, just not quite sure how to figure out what it was. But I'd started getting pretty good at knowing where things were coming from and trusting my gut judgment that something wasn't right. And I suspected where a couple things were. But there are things that you don't know how to dig them apart. Or like even in our main bathroom that we had to pull apart, it was behind the tiles of the shower. And the only way to know if it's there is to pull it apart. And do you really want to do that? And that's where that gut feeling is. It's like somebody took a shower, it's musty in here. There's something not right. I have to go with that.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up because that is one of the key pieces that I really want people to understand about this process is I think too often we end up second guessing ourselves, whether it be other voices in our lives, whether it be other things that we read where it says, well, it has to be this or this or this. And it disregards kind of the emotional part or what we would consider being the emotional part of what this is. And from what we experience as a family, what I watched you go through, and then what I see in so many clients is there's a part of our gut and our gut instinct that does attach to the emotion. But then there's a really important principle here and an important factor that I really want everyone to pay attention to this in particular. Your gut feeling about the place you work or about the place you live is probably more scientific than you understand. And your gut, that non-emotional part of your gut, I will say, there's that physiology part of you that will tell you that something is wrong. Then that sends a signal to the emotional side of you that puts action to something usually. And this is where a conundrum happens in so many people's lives in that they have voices either in their mind, they have voices in their life, and those voices come in and then negate what that gut says. And what I always tell people is this, when it comes to an inspection in a home, there are key pieces, and the first key piece is the interview of the occupants and their gut reaction to their own home. That is the key indicator of if there's an indoor air quality problem. And the second one really is a visual inspection. And to have experience and some of the right tools to do a visual inspection, you put those two things together. And for all the people who are always clamoring after what kind of sampling should I do, oftentimes sampling isn't even needed. But it does provide extra data at a certain point when it makes sense to do it. And so I'm so glad you brought up exactly the way you did, because it was your advocacy and it was your paying attention to what your gut was telling you that really led you to your success.
Yes. And I remember when you were in our home, you emphasized that it was important to really go with those gut reactions and gut feelings and to not dismiss those.
Yeah. So you've got a really interesting story. Because you and your family are so much like me and my family, so much like so many families, we're the average family. And right. You don't plan for or expect these things in your life, but then they happen. And right. So how is it that you deal with these things is really what it comes up to. I think what we should do at this point is we've got a great transition point going from kind of the backdrop of your story. And I think let's put this into a second episode and let's finish out in the second episode in kind of a teaser. And let's find out more about then what happens after this point for you.
Thanks so much for listening to the Manage Mold Podcast. Do you have a question that you'd like me to answer raw and uncut on the podcast? All you need to do is head over to Apple Podcasts and do three simple things. Leave a rating and review telling me what you think of the podcast. In that review, ask anything you want related to your home's health. And if you want a shout out, leave your Instagram handle or name. That's all. Then listen in to hear your question answered live, raw, and uncut. This is Dean Malstead. Join us next time on Manage Mold.